What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Empire 161 Show. We're at episode 12 in season 3. We're going to open it up with Back Down by 50 Cent. Pretty much a song that Jordan Montgomery warms up to, if you're not familiar with it. Yeah, I figured we'd go ahead and we're always like hashtag runs for Gumby, for Monty. Give him a little love with his warm up music. I would say walk up music. Yeah, thanks for joining us. As always, if you're joining us on the Facebook live stream, if you're joining us on YouTube, or Twitter, or Instagram, or wherever you found your podcast, the audio only version. So thank you as always in supporting us. And with me, as always, is Lisa Garcia. Lisa, what's up on this Sunday night?
I am tired because we will talk about this during the episode. Ed and I were separately at the game today, and it was really hot and muggy, like super muggy at the game, super humid. It was a great game, obviously, which we're going to talk about. But yeah, whenever I'm in the sun for that long, I get a little tired. So, but I'm gonna have energy for the show today. That's not a problem. And I have to say, I never would have thought that Jordan Montgomery's warm up music was 50 Cent. So. That fascinates me. Some of the players' music just fascinates the heck out of me. But yeah, good for him. And we do love Runs for Gumby. So let's keep it up, please, folks. I have a shout out. I want to shout out my brother's mother-in-law, Karen Junta, for hooking me up with an amazing ticket today for the game. She has a CPA association that she's involved with. She's a CPA. And they had tickets to the game today, so we got to sit in the Delta Sky box suite, which was really dope. So I just wanted to publicly thank her for that. I thanked her earlier, too. We had a great time at the game. And I got to see you and Angie after the game for a couple minutes before I walked up the freaking mountain on Anderson Avenue.
How did that go? I was the...
I had a good clip going. The people on the block were probably like, this girl's on a mission, because I was like...
Yeah.
But I made it. I'm home.
This is true. You did make the show. I mean, you know, like you're here, you're breathing, so you're good. Yeah, if you're not familiar with it, it's the Bronx, so there's hills everywhere. And we often would park in the street because paying $45 for parking is completely insane. So we don't do that. Get there early, find your parking. You usually will find it sooner or later. And yeah, there's some hills to be battled there. And I'm the same way. Once you start walking and once you get the momentum, you're like, all right, just go. Just keep going. You know, you might as well just get it over with. Like, they're flat ground. I can see the flat ground. Like, I got this. It's almost, would you say it was comparable with, like, the stairs and the ramps that we did in the 5Ks that we did at Yankee Stadium?
Oh, my God. I don't know, because those stairs... Like, after the first flight, so we're talking about the Damon Runyon 5K that the Yankees do every year. This year it's in the fall. It's near my birthday, if I'm not no. I can't remember when it is, but it's like a weeknight at night.
Oh, that's...
I know. I kind of wish it was on, like, a Friday or a Saturday at night. I think it's on, like, a Wednesday or a Thursday. So it's for a good cause. It's for cancer research. And we've run it, and you run up and down each level of Yankee Stadium, including the stairs, including the ramps. The ramps are obviously easier than the stairs. And then towards the end, when you're almost done, you get to run around the warning track, which is awesome. Yeah. But yes, no, that's way harder. That's way harder than I'll take that hill every day. Before I take running the 5K again, although I would run the 5K again, it's a lot of fun. It's a great experience.
Yeah, it is. I think you've done about 2-3 times or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple.
Yeah, it's been a few.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's fun. You psych yourself up for it, and you can go at your own pace. So if you are interested in that, the Runyon 5K is pretty quick. But you got a little practice for it if you decide to do it this year with the parking situation. All right, let's go ahead and jump into it. We'll take a look at the week that was in Yankees baseball. And it was an interesting week. We'll look at it that way. It's so strange. Like, for just 24 hours ago, we could have done this show with a completely different feeling.
Yes, I did say when we saw each other yesterday, I was like, man, our podcast is going to be so hard.
Yeah, pretty much. So let's kick it off at last Sunday night, because our last show was the preview show, essentially, for Sunday Night Baseball, where Yanks had a rough one. They dropped the finale in Boston by a final 11-6. Jameson Taillon took a no decision, going 5 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Giancarlo Stanton was 2-for-4 with his 22nd home run of the season. Driving into Matt Carpenter was 2-for-3 with his 10th home run of the season. Also driving into with 2 runs scored and a walk, and Jose Trevino was 2-for-4 with an RBI. Yanks jumped out to a quick 4-run lead, and you know, Taillon kind of coughed it right up and gave it back, and then it was tied, and then I don't know what the heck was going on with DJ LeMahieu calling off outfielders for pop flies that were in between. And I mean, majority of the time, the outfielder will have priority over that, but they had let him go and he didn't make either play, which essentially opened up the floodgates for the Red Sox to take the lead. And we've lauded DJ for his defense on the show throughout the season and past years. So it's not like he just had a bad night. I mean, shit happens. But I just thought it was strange that both outfielders, I believe it was Judge and Hicks, both gave way to him.
Yeah. Well, Judge probably gave way because he didn't want to run him over. I'm sure that's what it was with him. And I'm trying to remember with Hicks. I know Judge was a lot closer. Judge should have called him off.
Mm-hmm.
Hicks, I don't think he was there yet. I think it would have been tougher for Hicks. It was a tough one regardless, that second one. But the first one, I think Aaron Judge could have had it if he called him off.
I thought so. I thought both outfielders could have made the plays, and I guess DJ was tracking it. But
yeah,
I think you kind of got to give way to the outfielders. I'm not just second-guessing that. I thought it was strange when it actually happened. And
especially when it happened twice.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. And I was kind of cringing the second time. I was like, oh, Jesus, not again. And it did. One of them, I believe it was one of them had happened while Chapman was on the mound, and Boone was trying to go ahead and go to him. I think we'll get through it. I mean, he's pitched a couple of times this week since coming back. I think it's the best Yankees' best interest to get him out there when they can and pick their spots. I would prefer not high leverage spots versus the Red Sox. But if he pitches well, I kind of think they would be looking to ship him out of here eventually, because he's on the last year of his contract and there's really no place for him in the bullpen at this point. So it's kind of damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Did you catch his expression when the ball got shot?
No, I didn't. Well, was it more the smile or the smirk again?
No, it was like, are you effing kidding me?
I mean, which, listen.
Like, it's appropriate. It's appropriate. Especially for him, because he's been battling recently. He was like, all right, that's it. That's like, you know, the out. I'm good. And then he was like, it was for a hot second, but I caught it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, pitchers in general, you got to kind of try to keep your emotions in check for the most part, too. Like, you also don't want the fielders throwing their hands up when you give up a home run, which, you know, is eventually going to happen. But I can somewhat understand it with Chapman, because he knows the situation. Writing's on the wall. We all know it. So couldn't catch a break there. I figured, hey, I get him to pop it up to a Gold Glove defender who should be able to track this in, and unfortunately didn't. But I would say the most shocking game of the week was the Tuesday game against the Reds, the series opener. Which the Reds ended up topping the Yanks by a final of 4-3. Gerrit Cole got a no decision, but went 7 innings, 4 hits, a walk, 11 strikeouts. He looked awesome. But Clay Holmes took his first loss of the season, got charged for 4 earned runs, didn't record an out. That's why there's no innings pitched right there with a walk. Gleyber Torres was 3-for-4 with a double and 2 runs scored. Anthony Rizzo was 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Josh Donaldson was 1-for-4 with an RBI, but Yanks took a 3-0 lead into the 9th inning. And with Holmes on the mound, which has pretty much been automatic this year. And I'll admit, I was a little cruising through this one too. Last couple innings, you're like, all right, you know, 3-0. You know, not exactly fireworks. Yeah, we're good. We got Holmes coming in. you know, and then just he had no idea where the ball was going that night. It just was astonishing. You know, you just haven't seen that from him at all. And then he loads up the bases, and Boone took him out, went to Peralta, who almost got out of it. He did his damnedest to get out of it, but just gave up a flat or Jonathan India to go ahead and to take the lead. And Yanks couldn't muster up enough to come back, which they did have their chance, though. They did get – they had a chance to tie it and take the lead, which I kind of thought, all right, here we go again. And no can do on this night.
And prior to Clay Holmes, you know, kind of imploding, the Yankees were 49-0 when leading after eight innings this season. So, yeah, everybody thought it was a sure thing. So I'm sure if people didn't stay up, they fell asleep, they woke up the next morning like, what?
Yeah, they're going to be an advocate again. You watch the game. You watch the beginning to end. You don't go to the movies and walk out in the last 15 minutes or anything like that. You stick it through. You fight through. Some of those West Coast games, listen, it's a battle. Those games are a serious battle.
Oh, yes, it is.
So, all right, and then it takes us to the Wednesday game, which the Yanks had bounced back and pretty much had a walk-off wild pitch. Which you don't see very
so
often.
So weird.
But you take it. I mean, they didn't play a great game. It was a kind of a sloppy game, but the Yanks won 7-6. The big story in this game, though, was Luis Severino, who took a no decision, but was getting smacked around early. He only went two innings with four hits, four runs, two walks, and a K. But we'd find out he landed on the IL the next day with it was a shoulder tightness.
Yep.
Yeah, that was in there. He was saying something about, like, sleeping on the wrong side or something like that. Or he's going to be out pretty much, you know, for about a month or so, hopefully. Fingers crossed he comes back quickly. But that was pretty much what set the Yanks came back from that, though. Michael King picked up his sixth win of the season in relief in extra innings by defeating the Manfred Man. He was always lurking and trying to figure out ways to score with one hit and one strikeout. IKF was 2-for-4 with a bases-loaded three-run double. DJ LeMahieu was 2-for-5 with a two-run score. Giancarlo Stanton had an RBI, and Anthony Rizzo had an RBI and a walk. So the bats picking up the arms on this night, and, you know, you take the win. Sloppy or not sloppy, but against a Reds team, you know, you kind of do figure you're going to have your way with them. But that's why
so.
That's baseball, Lisa. That's how it works. That is, many try to predict it, I heard. And
it's unpredictable.
They can't. So, you got anything on the Wednesday night game?
No, there was nothing that's really stood out on that game to mention.
Yeah, it was
other than Sevy.
Yeah, the Sevy injury was kind of like the highlight of this game to me. Well, but then, ironically, though, the Reds came back and won 7-6 over the Yanks on Thursday night, a game that was a pretty tight game going back and forth. The good news, though, is Nasty Nestor went seven innings, four hits, and earned one on a walk and four Ks, looking more like himself again.
Did you peep when he did, like, the extra leg thing?
Uh-huh.
Michael K was like, oh, there it goes again. Like, and I don't know how the heck you can throw a strike doing that. Like, that's a lot of balance.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Yeah. So that's something he must work on in his bullpens. And his bullpen sessions between starts, you have to work on that.
Those must be so fun. Like, I want a video of his bullpen sessions. Because he just makes stuff up. Like,
no, you're right. And that's in that way he reminds me of David Cohn a lot back in the day when he used to just
They talk about that a lot on the broadcast.
Yeah. It's just that's really who comes to mind.
Yeah.
But another one who did not have the greatest outing and was a little bit of an odd decision by Aaron Boone was Johnny Loaisiga was back and went two-thirds of an inning, four hits, and three earned runs. Lucas Licky took the loss in extra innings, pushing his record to 2-3. An inning, three hits, and two earned runs. Matt Carpenter was 1-for-3 with his 11th home run of the season, two RBIs, two runs scored on a walk. Aaron Judge hit his 31st home run of the season. And Gleyber Torres was 1-for-5 with two RBIs and a run score. I mean, Nestor was cruising through seven.
He was. I feel bad for him because I don't remember what inning it was. When I don't know if it was the eighth or the it was the 10th inning, whatever. He was like in the dugout.
Yeah.
He also, if I'm not mistaken, isn't this the same game where Matt Carpenter banged into the wall?
Yes.
And no, he didn't bang into the wall. He banged into the wall, but he caught the ball. And then he did not catch one. And Nestor Cortez had a very obvious reaction. And everybody was saying, you can't do that.
No, but it's true. We were just talking about it before, just as a pitcher. Like, it's just something you almost have to work on. You almost have to almost be stoic out there with that. Or you can show your positive reactions, but negative reactions happen. Negative stuff happens. You know, you got to kind of just take it, and that's it. Just the way it is. But Matt Carpenter, you know, I understand Boone trying to get the bat in the lineup because you can't DH him every night. First base is kind of blocked by Rizzo. Second base is blocked. Third base is blocked. So he's been that hot where you've got to find a place to play him. And they've been playing in the outfield. I mean, he's had some adventures. He's made some nice catches. He's also just kind of been there, and that's what you're hoping. He just kind of somehow is there. But Joey Gallo is also like, it's also because he's just struggling so much, and Carpenter has been so red hot. Gallo's clearly the better defender, but you got to get that bat in the lineup somehow. So it's a work in progress with Carpenter in the outfield. But you know, that night there was a couple of interesting plays he had out there. Looked like Ruben Sierra a little bit again in the outfield.
So I do have two stats for this one, and to be fair to other teams, so it's not always Yankee propaganda. The Reds pitcher Luis Castillo got 8 strikeouts against the Yankees and has allowed 1 or fewer runs in 4 straight starts. He looked great that night. He's posting a 0 ERA with 33 strikeouts in 27 innings in that span of 4 straight starts. I know that they've been talking about, you know, him potentially coming to the Yankees. They even talked on the broadcast about whether or not he would cut his hair. I want to correct Michael Kay because nobody else did. Michael Kay said he had braids. Michael Kay, those aren't braids. Get it right. Please get it right. And listen, if he cuts his hair, the hairstyle that he has takes a very long time to grow and to take care of. And they did say that somebody on the Reds said that if he were traded to the Yankees, he would cut his hair, even though he loves it so much. That is freaking dedication, because that hairstyle, it's not easy. It takes a while.
Winning over hair.
Everything. I suppose. I hear you. But that's a different kind of decision than, you know, like shaving your COVID beard, right?
Yes.
It's a really different decision. So, but you know, like, we'll see what happens if he does become a Yankee. And we'll get to this more in the upcoming series, but have to name that Aaron, at the end of this game that we're talking about, Aaron Judge's 31 home runs are the second most by a Yankee before the All-Star game. And clearly Roger Maris had 33 in 1961, and we all know what happened that year.
Yes. Please let it happen. Please rescue the record from these idiots. Please, guys. Please do it. I would love the Castillo rumors have started up again. Cashman's been after him for years. And, you know, it would be nice, but I also wonder, he's going to be the hottest name starting pitcher on the market. So the Reds are going to be in control to demand whatever it is. They ain't giving up Volpe. They're not giving up Peraza. So if those names are on the list and those are the deal breakers, then it ain't happening. Because there will be a starting pitching need, though, as the season goes on, because Luis Severino hasn't thrown anywhere near 200 innings in years now. Years. Nasty Nestor, as great as he's been, he's touched nowhere near 200 innings in his career. That's the problem they're going to run into. Jameson Taillon also. Jordan Montgomery can probably handle the workload, and obviously Gerrit Cole could. But that's the thing. You just don't want these guys running out of gas at the end of the season. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with the deadline, because I do anticipate they're going to be making some moves. I don't think they need to go crazy, but there's when a team is this good, you need to fortify it for the postseason. So having Castillo behind Cole, that would be some 1-2 punch that they would have going into the playoffs. All right, so then Friday night, the Yanks welcome the Red Sox into town for the final series before the All-Star break. And Yanks really gave one away. They really gave one away in this night. Jordan Montgomery had taken a no decision again. Not his best, but definitely fought through. Six innings pitched, six hits, three earned runs, a walk, and four Ks. DJ LeMahieu was 3-for-5 with a run score. Giancarlo Stanton was just about the Yankees offense, going 2-for-5 with his 24th homer of the season with a three-run homer. Matt Carpenter was 2-for-3 with a double. Yanks offense, though, 2-for-15 with runners in scoring position on the night. So you had small villages on the base paths, especially in the 9th and 10th inning. Like, they had so many chances to win this game. Bases loaded, no outs, and they essentially find a way. The Red Sox take the lead for their winning. They score their winning run on, a pitch in the dirt from King that Trevino kept in front of it and blocked it. It went just far enough away where Jackie Bradley Jr. took off from third and just by a hair got in because there was no one to cover. So what are you going to do? But they should have never been in that position at all. Yeah. They had chances. You got to get that done. Situational hitting, 101, deep fly ball, a weak grounder in the infield, anything but banging into constant double plays. And they did just that, two innings in a row.
Six out of the last 8 games that the Yankees played with the Red Sox have all been determined by 1 or 2 runs as well. So all of their games have been pretty close except for the last two. Exactly. And there's also been 3 extra inning games between the two of them this season so far.
Yeah, you can throw, we'd agree. You can throw the standings out when the Yankees and Red Sox play because they're going to go ahead they're going to give the Yanks their best every single time. And
it's always going to be more than 3 hours.
Exactly. It's going to go on. It's going to be, especially when it's in Fenway.
Yeah.
With the Green Monster on left. I mean, there's no lead that's safe, essentially. So for either team. So there is that. But there are certain games that lead is safe. And some of them were Saturday. When the Yankees went ahead and really they beat the crap out of the Red Sox by a final of 14-1 last night. Thankfully, no A.J. Pierzynski doing the game for Fox. It was actually John Smoltz, he's good. John Smoltz is really good. So I was happy to hear him on broadcast. Jameson Taillon, though, huge start for him after about a horrible month. But he picked up his 10th win of the season, pushing his record to 10-2. 6 innings, 2 hits, an earned run, no walks, which is key. 5 Ks. Matt Carpenter, though, 2-for-4, 2 homers, giving him 13 on the season, 7 RBIs with 3 runs scored and a walk. Aaron Judge was 3-for-3 with 2 homers of his own, giving him 33 home runs on the season, 3 RBIs, 3 runs scored and a walk. IKF was 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs. And Lisa, as you had mentioned, Roger Maris earlier in the broadcast.
Yep. So now, as of those 2 home runs, Aaron Judge ties Roger Maris as the only 2 Yankees to hit 33 home runs prior to the All-Star break. That was amazing. I really wanted him to hit another one today, but he didn't. But that's okay. He got a few RBIs today. And I also want to note that Matt Carpenter is the first Yankee outfielder with 7 RBIs in a game versus the Red Sox since Joe DiMaggio did it in 1940. And he is the 4th Yankee in history to have multiple games with 7-plus RBIs in one season. I did say Joe DiMaggio was one of them. Do you know who the other 2 folks are that he joins?
Oh, man, I don't remember this. There was another random stat I'm going to quote after this that came from last night. And it's going to include my most hated Yankee in history. Ruth?
Mm-hmm.
Gehrig?
Yep, you got him.
Nope. There you go. Talking about power hitters in Yankee history, you kind of want to probably go to those. Those are 2 or 3 you want to go to, for sure.
So Matt Carpenter, a guy who was lost and then found, has now joined history with Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Joe DiMaggio. Come on.
It's nuts. It's nuts. His whole story is just crazy.
Love it. Love his
story. It's so crazy. Like, falling out of baseball, going to the bat fit. A bat fitter, which I don't even know what the heck that is, to be honest with you. He's going to Joe Votto, He's going to Matt Holliday to rework his swing and finds his way. And he's just, I mean, he's been essential. I mean, if he actually somewhat maintains any level of this, you're like, wait a second, we got to re-sign Matt Carpenter for a couple of years.
Yeah,
now, it's a 1 or 2 year deal or something like that afterwards. I mean, it's crazy.
So I don't know what the Batfitter is, but I'm going to be a geek right now and say it's like going to the wand shop for Harry Potter.
It might be. I mean, I'm hopefully. I mean, my first thought that came to mind was Bath Fitter, which we have. I hope it's better than that.
Oh, I hope it's way better than that.
I hope it is. I mean, I like my Bath Fitter, but like, you know, it takes a little bit more to get your swing back than have a bathtub. That's pretty cool. No, but he also was. He is only the third Yankee in history to go ahead and over the course of his first 30 games. To hit 13 home runs. And the other two, I mean, one is Glenn Allen Hill, and the other is Kevin Moss. If you listen to the show and me and Tim a long time ago went over our most hated Yankees, Moss is my number one. I despise Kevin Moss. He literally is a flash in the pan for 1 month, and that's it. That literally was his career. He is the guy I booed at Old Timers Day.
The one guy you've ever booed.
Yes, and I wait for an Old Timers Day to do it. It just, I didn't even think, it wasn't premeditated, just brought it out in me. I couldn't stand it. I think I was like, not even paying attention. I just heard the name and just instantly got up and started booing.
Damn, that Old Timers Day too. He was so excited to be there and you're booing him.
Screw him. A lot of it has to do with like, when he was hot, it was like, oh look, they got Mattingly's replacement. I'm like, yo, pump the brakes. Mattingly ain't done yet. Calm down. Yeah. Take it easy with that shit. So that, and I guess I've just never let it go since then. So whatever. I'm not saying it's rational at all. It exists. But Yanks went ahead and really took care of business earlier today by taking care of the Red Sox by a final 13-2. Another game, another beating. Garrett Cole, though, to me, he was the story of this game, picking up his ninth win of the season. 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, no walks, and 12 Ks. That, honestly, though, the big thing of facing Rafael Devers, who has owned him in his career so far, and literally just last weekend, I was just curious to see, are they going to attack with another game plan? Like, enough with the breaking balls. He's destroying them. That's how he hit his home run off of Tyone on Saturday night. Just attack him with high fastballs and try something different. But first pitch out of the gate.
He threw him a high fastball. All right.
Yeah. Oh no, he sure did. Finally, though, and I'm not saying to drill him. I'm not advocating for that. But just make him move his feet, make him unsettled, and that's what happened.
Oh, he moved his feet.
Yeah.
He went horizontal and was on the ground for a couple minutes.
It shook him. You can tell it shook him. 3 straight pitches struck him out.
Yeah.
Didn't get a hit on the day. So. You know, I'm not saying that's like it's all done in the past, but I think for Cole and his confidence against the Red Sox, the team that's kind of hit him up a little bit since he's been with the Yankees and against Devers specifically, this is going to go a long way, you know, moving forward. DJ LeMahieu, though, continued his hot hitting. The machine was 3 for 4 with an RBI and a double and 3 runs scored in the walk. Aaron Judge was 2 for 3 with an RBI and 2 runs scored. Matt Carpenter, 1 for 4, 3 RBIs, a run scored in a double. And Lisa, we were talking about beforehand, especially on the Facebook page, that it was, it's weird sitting Stanton against a lefty right before the All-Star break, not making a lot of sense, but Boone looks like a genius still. He does. I mean, sometimes it works out.
It still didn't work out for me, but that's okay.
Did it though? Because Tim LeCastro, from what I understand, you know, had a little shake in the batter's box as well.
No. I wasn't saying that because I was impressed. I was like, oh, he looks like a little boy. It was actually really cute. So he when he gets up to bat, he does a little booty shimmy each time, which was really funny to see. The only good thing about Giancarlo not playing is that where I was sitting, I had a really good view of the dugout. So I got to look at him the whole game when I wanted to. But I would have preferred him out on the field.
All right. But, hey, Tim LeCastro, though, gets a start in right field, goes 3 for 5 with his second home run of the season.
Yeah,
he was great. 2 RBIs, 2 runs scored. Aaron Hicks, 2 for 4 with 2 RBIs and a run scored and a walk. and coming off the bench after
the,
after the Red Sox have thrown in the towel and the Yanks were doing so as well. Like, not
and the towel, Yankees like, pulled a couple players.
Emptying out the bench because, no, when the opposing team does it, it's a blowout. All right, all fair. You're waving the white flag, so we'll do this. You're conceding. But he was 1-for-2 with his 11th home run of the season. It was a shot, too. RBIs. It was. No, it really was. He doesn't usually
hit. It went to the second deck.
Yeah, when he does hit them, they're not cheap. I'll say that. And he had a chance at a grand slam in the second at bat, which I was like, did. Wow, this would be something. But no, he made contact, and that's always positive for Joey Gallo.
Did you hear? I think you posted it on the page, and I thought it was so funny, because Anthony Rizzo Foundation had a lot of really great things that you could bid on. Mm-hmm. And the one that I was the most interested in, that I called my mom and I was like, hey, mom, I know what I want for my birthday. And she was like, what? I'm like, I want a 30-minute batting session with Aaron Judge, Anthony Rizzo, and Giancarlo Stanton. I need you to call all my friends and family and have them all put it on a GoFundMe page and bid on that for me. I was clearly joking because there's no way in hell, you know, like we're going to afford that. But I think you posted on our page that somebody was like, Anthony Rizzo's got this thing, 30 minutes, and I'm going to buy it and give it to Joey Gallo.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal, man.
Oh, my God.
That was brutal. Absolutely hilarious.
Very funny.
Oh, it was great. I died laughing when I saw that. Oh, man. I was watching it. I was actually caught some of the BP show that night. It was Tuesday night, I think it was. Tuesday or Thursday night when they were doing the Yes was helping out with the Rizzo Foundation. And I had thrown in, you know, small amount, not big on anything, but I did the texting, which I thought was kind of interesting because they charge your phone bill. They tack it onto there. I thought I had to enter a credit card and stuff like that, but I didn't. So no, it's good cause.
Did you see all the little ways that they were like advertising for it?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I loved every single one of them.
That was pretty funny.
Every single one of them was hilarious.
Kind of took me back to foul territory a little bit.
Yes, it did.
A little bit.
Listen, I think it should be a first baseman tradition. I think Anthony Rizzo would actually be very good at foul territory.
I would love to see that. You know, I would love to see that.
Bring it back. Have Mark Teixeira be your first guest. Oh, my God.
I would love Mark Teixeira to come back and host it and interview Rizzo.
That would be amazing. Mark Teixeira, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think he works for ESPN a little bit. I don't know. Like he's in one of those situations where it's like, yeah, listen, call me when you need a guy, and I'll be there. But I'm good. So. All right, let's get into our awards of the week, as we typically do. We will go ahead for our offensive player of the week, which we go to as the top of the heap, hitter of the week, and I am gonna go with who but Matt Carpenter. Matt Carpenter is the guy. All right, we're both going for it. He hit 500 this week, so kind of tough to top that. But a .630 on base percentage, a 1200 slugging percentage, 4 home runs, 14 RBIs, 10 hits, 8 runs scored, and 5 walks, and only 4 strikeouts. I mean, it's really, really tough to top what the heck he did this week. And half of them were last night. So. Yeah, he pretty much had a night for the week for most people that they would have. But DJ LeMahieu had himself a damn week, too.
I started writing him, and then I looked up and saw Matt Carpenter's, and I was like, no, I got to go with Matt Carpenter. So, yeah. it was going to be one of them for me as well.
Yeah, these are softball numbers that we're going here. I mean, you know, it's just nuts. When you're hitting 500, I mean, that's literally sloping softball, so.
Yeah.
All right. So then we can go on and move on to the King of the Hill pitcher of the week, which is we'll go with our pitcher of the week. And Lisa, who are you going with as your King of the Hill pitcher of the week?
I mean, we probably have the same person. How could it not be Garrett Cole? 2-for-2 this week. We never.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't. It's pretty rare. It's pretty rare.
It's very rare. But I mean, I had to give it to him this week. So the stats that I found said that he had a 1.29 ERA for the week, 14 innings pitched, 8 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 23 strikeouts. His whip is 0.64, and the batting average against him was a 163.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, 23 strikeouts and one walk. That's like what every manager dreams of for their pitchers.
Yeah, it's pretty much impossible to get better than what he's given you this, you know, for this week. So,
absolutely,
there's no choice. Even if he wanted to, there's no choice. Nope. I think, yeah, DJ was the only one who potentially gave us a choice for top of the heap, but it's not.
No other king of the hill.
Exactly. It would be silly. But I guess we also just wanted to talk about the Yanks at, for the first half of the season, you know, a little bit here over, because, I mean, they've had a first half for pretty much, you know, a historic one. I mean, this is not a first half that either one of us could have predicted. I'm not saying we thought they were going to go in the toilet this year at all, but, like, Cashman was under a lot of scrutiny in the offseason. You know, some people not thrilled with some of the moves, but you can't debate with the results. The results are there. They are – I'm sorry, let's go ahead and get some numbers here for you. They are leading the AL East by 13 games over the Tampa Bay Rays. Okay? Mm-hmm. The AL East, which is a division, which literally the last place team in the Baltimore Orioles is 500. There is no other division in Major League Baseball that is 500 or better. So – can't even say they're beating up on a weak division, which, you know, some other teams are doing, like the Central is not really nothing to write home about. I mean, Houston's leading the West, but Mariners have also just, they're in the middle of a 14-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 9 games out.
Mm-hmm.
You've won 14 in a row, you're still 9 games out. But the Yanks also go ahead and maintain their lead over the Houston Astros for the top overall seed, which, I mean, essentially that's what they're playing for right now. Is to try to get home field advantage straight throughout the playoffs because they're going to be in the playoffs. But it means something, though. It really does hold weight, as we've seen. They faced the Astros in ALCS in 2017 and 2019, and the deciding games were in Houston. So you want that on your side, you know, to be in Yankee Stadium. So, I mean, essentially that's what they're playing for. And Judge will hopefully be making it close enough to be bidding for some history, you know, in September. So there's been a couple of decisions this week where Boone has tried to get Chapman in. And I have a feeling that the division was tighter, that wouldn't really be the case. I think he's using this time to rest people. Judge, same thing, tighter division race. Then maybe Judge doesn't get as many days off as he has, but this is what you earn, you know, by taking this lead as well. Lisa, is there anything specifically? I mean, I have some pointers that I wanted to bring up too, is the differences between the 2022 Yankees so far and the past couple of seasons, because I feel like their approach is night and day.
Oh, and yeah. I mean, we've talked about this a couple of times this season already, but their aggressiveness on the base path has been everything this year. And a couple of games ago, they were talking about how when they told the team they wanted them to focus more on stealing, and like they had to kind of like reintroduce guys to the fundamentals of stealing because it had been so long since they focused on it. The guys were excited, and you could see it because there's players that aren't that fast that are stealing bases, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That part's been really, really cool to see that it's like a whole team effort. It's not just like the one or two really fast guys on the team that are doing it. I bet Brett Gardner is sitting at home even sadder because that was his favorite thing. Hi, Brett. But yeah, just the whole approach with that, I think, has really made a big difference, because the Yankees were not known in the past several seasons for being aggressive on the base path and being smarter running too. Now, obviously, you know, they've still made some base running errors throughout the season, but nothing as crazy. I feel like the last couple of years, guys were making really stupid mistakes. They're getting in. There's been a couple of times where they've gotten in intentional rundowns. Which is like amazing, you know. I feel like there's more guys bunting too.
Yeah, no, their offense is way more well-rounded attack. I mean, I think it's they score 52% of their runs off of home runs still, but I think that's just 2022 baseball. It's gonna happen. That's fine. You're still scoring 48% of them without benefit of the home run, and that's what's huge. Like, they do play. Listen, Friday night was a terrible example of it, because Friday night was a 2021 Yankees loss, because they had it right there, and any of the fundamentals, sac fly or anything, would have won the game. And for the majority of the season, they've done that. They found ways to do it. And that's what I think is the biggest difference. Like you mentioned on the base pass, they have 63 stolen bases as a team as of right now. That is as many as they had all of last season in one half. That's a pretty remarkable turnaround.
Yes, it is.
So, and yeah, there's just better situational hitting. I'm not saying it happens every single night because that's impossible.
Right.
But situational hitting is better. Base running is better. Not as many stupid outs on, like you mentioned, on the base pass. Stealing bases more. Taking the game to other teams. And like earlier today, they forced a lot of errors on the Red Sox. And that's another thing. Having a good running game does. You have to force the action sometimes. And they exposed the Red Sox for being not the greatest defensive team. So that's how you can win some games as well. I mean, the pitching has been, for the most part, has been on a historic note. I'm not saying that they were going to maintain that the entire season because that's completely insane. But, you know, if this is their little slide right before these last two games, you definitely can live with that because I think some of these guys are going to rebound. I think they have a really good pitching staff, and the bullpen's been excellent. That's been excellent for years now. Like the names change, but it just seems like they know how to find relievers. Whether it's Clay Holmes, who they completely came out of nowhere with, Wandy Peralta, another guy they found out the scrap heap. Jonathan Weisinger returning to form. Hopefully he can, because that would be a huge arm in the bullpen. And their pitching depth with Severino going on the IL, Domingo Germán happens to be ready to go. So he'll slot into there and pick that up. So, and their defense has also been significantly better. And it's noticeable with Gary Sanchez not being there. And I also think that plays a part for the pitching. Pitchers feel like they can confidently throw breaking balls in the dirt, and they're going to get caught. You don't have to worry about Sanchez, you know, with a pass ball there. There's a lot to be said about that, I think, in every aspect.
There's also, I feel like there's a lot more range in the infielders. I mean, Anthony Rizzo is one of the best first basemen, you know, in major leagues. But you could put DJ LeMahieu anywhere, and other than those two pop-ups we talked about, he's probably going to catch everything. But, like, IKF has been making some ridiculous – like, he's got a lot of errors, but he's also been making some really ridiculous plays lately. And at some point this week, Gleyber Torres really had to, like, cover a lot of ground, and he had to slide and catch a ball and then, like, effortlessly threw the guy out at first. And it was a really hard play. So I'm just – we've talked about this too. He looks better at second than he did at short. So that was also a really good move to move him over there. But yeah, I feel like they've been making a lot more plays. We're seeing a lot more, like with Josh Donaldson or DJ LeMahieu playing third base, like a lot of those long throws, you know, you're running past third out into foul territory. You're doing that Jeter turn. That's happening a lot more. And then Anthony Rizzo is saving, you know, we said this last year. This is why Luke Boyd's not on the team anymore, because Anthony Rizzo just vacuums up anything that you throw at him.
Yeah. So a good first baseman makes your whole team feel better.
Right. So between first base and catcher, like they tightened up a lot of the weak areas.
And the addition of IKF, like you said, he's making some great plays here and there. Listen, he's not a gold glover at shortstop, and no one's saying that. I do think he's better than Gleyber Torres was at shortstop the last couple of seasons. And Gleyber going back to second base, way more comfortable. His offense has also returned as well. Because I think mentally was what his problem was offensively the last couple of years, because he was so locked in at shortstop, and now it's pretty much brought him back to that. So, and IKF, he's a stopgap. I mean, we all know this. They passed on Seager, they passed on Correa, they passed on Story, you know, they passed on all these, and they passed on all these guys on Semien because they felt that great about Volpe. So they just had to get a guy who can kind of get them there to it, and IKF has done the job. Also come up with some big clutch hits. Still looking for that first home run of the season, but it's all right. It does spray the ball line to line. Again, not a 300 hit. He's not a superstar. I think that's kind of what some of the knock has been against him, but he seems to be a scrappy player who can get bunts down and things like that and do the little things that we weren't getting before. And DJ LeMahieu is a gold glove second baseman. But now I feel like being versatile at first and third, he was like adequate at those positions. Now he's excellent at those positions. Mm-hmm. You can literally throw him to any of three infield positions, three of the four, and you're going to get plus defense mm-hmm. every single night. And that is huge. And another, the big thing that happened defensively in the outfield, though, Aaron Judge playing center, pretty much there. Yes. He is their primary center fielder now.
Yes.
Let Stanton play right. Gallo plays some right. Slides Hicks over to left. And getting a little Matt Carpenter in left field here and there, left field and right field. So it unlocked the whole thing. Because you don't want Stanton. And Stanton's also a much better hitter, apparently, when he gets to play the field. So it's really balanced out about the entire roster of the position players.
So if he stays with the Yankees, which, of course, we all hope he does, does that mean they have to change the Pepsi Lounge into the judges' chambers?
Oof, I don't know. That's a good question.
Because they put those judges' chambers up, like, real quick. It was, like, year two and a half.
That was nuts. No, that was a little – that was crazy how fast that happened. Jeter never had anything like that. It was or you know, Madden Lee or anyone else, Bernie Williams, nobody had anything like that. And Judge, it was, like, instant. Mm-hmm. But I think they also see the value in him. They see mm-hmm. that in 2017 – he jumped, you know, exploded on the scene and pretty much took the fan base by storm and baseball by storm. So he's one of the top five players in the game, and he's the face of the franchise of your most popular team and successful team.
He's the face of Major League, according to the stats from the All-Star voting.
No, he's the biggest vote getter in there. I'm curious to see, because in the second half, it's going to be a battle with him and Ohtani, because Ohtani's pitching has been lights out now. He's pitching way better than he did last year, and his offense is still there. It's going to be a very interesting battle.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. Last year too, like, he just fascinates me. Like, I think what he's doing is, it may not be Babe Ruth, or maybe it will be in the long run. But, like, you know, we didn't get to see this in our lifetime.
Nope, not even close.
So it's similar to what people experienced with Babe Ruth, getting to watch somebody play two different positions and be very good.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's a power hitter. He has speed, and he throws almost 100 miles an hour, and he's on a ridiculous run. And I didn't see if they announced it earlier today, but I'm assuming he's starting the All-Star game for the American League.
I hope so.
Against Kershaw. Well, I mean, Garrett Cole pitched today, so they also, him and Verlander are both deemed as they're not playing. They're pretty much going to be there. They're not going to be available. So Ohtani, to me, is the choice. And if you're Major League Baseball, you start him because you've got to showcase the guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's the moneymaker. That's one of the things with Major League Baseball for a little while now is they haven't had faces of the league. Unfortunately, right. Trout got hurt earlier today, so he's not going to be in the All-Star game. Trout's been the best player in the game for a little while now, and he just doesn't seem like he has the big personality to want it. Like, he doesn't want to be that guy. He plays on the West Coast, which hurts him a little bit. So Judge, I think, is by default in some ways has been that guy. No, default's not the proper word, because he's also earned it. But Judge, with his injury history somewhat recently, freak injuries, kind of has held him back from that. But now, the last couple of years, he's regaining that and being that guy. So to me, it's Judge and Ohtani are kind of like your guys, your faces of the game. And, I mean, they both seem to be good dudes who – or doing things, because even Judge, 6'7", center fielder, you know, doing the things he does. He's got a cannon for an arm, too, you know, mm-hmm. hitting monster shots and home runs. I mean, it's what gravitates people to the game. So it'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how that goes. But, yeah, the Yanks are leading in home runs, runs scored, you know, most offensive categories, pitching categories, they're in the top five, too. So, you know, enjoy it. And I get it's like, you know, with the Yankees, it's like, October, yes. We know what the goal is. The goal is to win the World Series. But you have to enjoy the run on the way there. You can't act like day-to-day isn't fun. That's baseball. It's part of the game. So It's been a blast. They've been way more exciting this season in every aspect. It's a blast to watch. Games are usually within two or three runs every night, whether they win or lose. So you can't ask for much more, really, at all, from a fan's perspective.
Yeah.
All right. And then we got the All-Star game coming up, on Tuesday night, and we got a home run derby.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we sure do. So some of us have got a pool going in that. So
yes, we do.
We'll have the drawings and we'll talk about that. You know, when we're actually doing a special edition of the Empire 161 show, the All-Star edition, Wednesday night as well. We'll announce the exact time once it gets a little bit closer, because we're trying to work around with, you know, some other potential PCP shows that will be on that night. But we'll be changing things up a little bit. It's going to almost kind of feel like weirdly like Granny's PhD, because we're going to be reviewing a movie and a TV show.
I can't wait.
So a little different.
I have a lot of things to watch between now and Wednesday.
Yeah. So we'll
get off of this.
No, we'll be back Wednesday night. We'll be doing a review of A League of Their Own for the, was it the 30th anniversary?
Yes, I believe so.
I believe so.
Which sounds crazy. That sounds crazy.
No, it is. It's nuts. We'll be talking about episode one of The Captain as mm-hmm. well, which will be premiering after the Home Run Derby tomorrow night. So you can stay tuned for that. I am trying to get our closing music ready as I'm doing this, because I admittedly did not cue it up a little
That's
bit.
That's okay.
It's all
We're
right.
also going to talk about the Home Run Derby. And I'm like, now, that is not our closing music. That's okay. I'm going to keep talking. I'm letting folks know now on the record that if Ed gets Pete Alonso again, the Home Run Derby thing is rigged. That's all I'm saying.
These accusations. Accusations ahead of time. We shall see. Farashi's in our Home Run Derby pool now. So a lot of people will be vying for Pete Alonso in that. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday night, though. We'll be talking about the All-Star game itself, talking about the Home Run Derby. And they had mentioned League of Their Own and the Captain. So join us on Wednesday night. A little short turnaround. We'll change things up a little bit. So thanks for joining us this Sunday night, as always. Oh, wow. Mario chiming in late again. What's up, Mario? What's going on?
Thanks
for joining us. We appreciate the support, as always, dude. So, wow, this is dropping the ball. Oh, here we go. Who would have thought that New York teams in first place? Dude, it's been great. We would love to meet you guys in the World Series. It'd be great. We got a long way to go, though, before them. So, yeah, it's been an exciting time in New York baseball, for sure. But, yeah, thanks for joining us on the Facebook.
I'm sorry. This reminds me, Ed, we need to talk to Farachi and them about teaming up with the Put It in the Book show.
I'll chat with
them. Subway series coming up.
Yeah. I'll chat with them about that. We'll try to see if we can get that going. So thanks for joining us, though, on the Facebook stream. For joining us there. Go ahead and join the Empire 161 show group. Go ahead and be joining us on YouTube. Let's subscribe on Pop Culture Pros. If you're on Twitter, follow us at Empire 161 show. Again, lineups and anything else that we can find, we tweet out there. So go ahead and join that. And if you're joining us on the audio-only version, hit subscribe on Pop Culture Pros, wherever you found your podcast. So appreciate that. A lot of shows on Pop Culture Pros. We had mentioned the Put It in the Book show from the New York Pets, with Farachi and Keith and Rodriguez. So go ahead and check them out. If you're into comic book stuff, you can check out Granny's PhD. There's an episode up right now. We did our Thor review and Miss Marvel and Boys finale review. So go ahead and check that out. Granny's is off this week. Into wrestling, check out the Just Too Sweet show with Tim and Eric. Want more Tim and Eric? Check out A to Z show as well. And check out Shooting the Sith with Tim talking about Star Wars. So you got that. And Double Deep Dive will be back in a few weeks if you're into James Bond. So you can check out Jason and Ginny there. And if you're into Disney in general, check out Ashley and Gabby on Skyliner Views. And you got Don Owens joined Granny's Peach 2 the other day. But Am I on the Air? So check out his stuff. He does all entertainment stuff across the board. There we go. Woo!
Cracker Jacks.
No, not Cracker Jacks. Just kind of run through stuff. So. Yeah, so we'll see you Wednesday night. And let's go Yankees. Even though I'm not playing, let's go with the All-Star. So, talk to you then.
Enjoy the All-Star break.
Let's go.